Hey, this is Michael Sedini from Walk the Talk America.
Hey, guys, this is Julie Golub with Team Smith & Wesson, and you're listening to the Armed Citizen Podcast.
From the Ghost Tactical Productions Studio, welcome to the Armed Citizen Podcast. And now your host, Trey Miller.
Welcome to the Armed Citizen Podcast. I am your host, Trey Miller with Ghost Tactical Productions. And before we get going, I do want to wish everybody a safe and a happy Thanksgiving. And I hope everyone's enjoying your families and understand that this is the time that is some of the best times of the year, the holiday season coming up. So enjoy your family. Tell them you love them and enjoy the food and festive activities that your family go through for Thanksgiving. So thanks to everyone who's always watched our stuff or listened to our podcasts and supported our projects in any way. We really appreciate you, and especially our patrons out there on Patreon. You guys make it so worth the grind, and thank you for always believing and supporting everything that we do. So we understand that your hard-earned money is your money, and we appreciate the fact that you share a little bit of that with us because you believe in what we're doing. So thank you so much. And what we're going to talk about today, guys, is concealed carry handguns. I know this is a topic that's been talked about forever, and what's the best concealed carry handgun out there, and how do you choose one, and all of that stuff. And if you want some ideas, we just dropped a video over on our YouTube channel over at Ghost Tactical about our top five best concealed carry handguns, and we focus kind of on the 9mm semi-autos on this list, but there's still some great guns out there. But we're going to discuss a little bit today about maybe how to choose a concealed carry handgun and why that's important to be a personal choice. And don't listen to people like myself and other influencers out there that give you information. We're giving you our opinions. We try to share some information if you are looking for a gun or something like that to start carrying. Maybe you can look at our videos and others and kind of get an idea of historically and been tested what are some good choices, but ultimately it is a personal choice. Before we kind of dive into this, let's say a quick thank you to one of our sponsors, which is Sportsman's Guide. And guys, if you're interested in the outdoors at all, just go check out sportsmansguide.com. They've got products for everything for you to pursue all of your outdoor passions like fishing and camping, hiking, hunting, obviously firearms, ammunition, but anything and everything that you guys could possibly want or need for your outdoors excursions, Sportsman's Guide's got them. And if you really want to support us and our projects here at Ghost Tactical and the Armed Citizen Podcast, please head over to our website, www.ghosttacticalproductions.com, and on that upper banner up there you'll see a click that says corporate partners. Click on that and go shopping to Sportsman's Guides through our link, and you'll get some good deals, but also we'll get a little kickback from Sportsman's Guides, and that'll help support our projects and stuff here at the Armed Citizen Podcast and at Ghost Tactical Productions. So guys, go check out Sportsman's Guides. They're awesome people, and they've got some great deals for Black Friday coming up. So go check them out if you're interested in a new firearm. If you're interested in buying your first concealed carry handgun, you can find some great deals on firearms over there, ammunition, holsters, everything that you're going to need to get carrying. So go check them out as well, and thank you to them. All right, so basically what we're going to discuss today are what are some things to think about and to look for when you're thinking about purchasing a concealed carry handgun. Now, this doesn't have to be for the beginning carrier. It could be for anyone who's carried for a long time, but maybe you've carried the same gun and now you're kind of looking to expand your catalog of and your rotation of what you're going to carry. And it's really going to come down to several factors. It's going to be whether you're a man or a woman. It makes no difference whether you're old or young, whether you're big or small. These are all factors that are going to play into the choices. So some people might like a little small 380 or a 38 special revolver. Some people are going to maybe want a full-size 1911 to carry, or a 44 Magnum revolver. It's really up to you. Now, when we're talking open carry versus concealed carry, I think there's obviously going to be some differences in handguns that you probably would be able to purchase for open carry that you might not consider for concealed carry. That being said, I do know a lot of people that will carry a full-size 1911 or whatever to really go out there and conceal carry. And that's a personal choice, and I'm not going to tell anybody that the choices that you're making are wrong as long as you're carrying. That's one of my biggest missions that when I get involved in this whole social media thing is to spread the gospel of concealed carry and becoming that everyday warrior and taking that responsibility to promote safe firearm practice, responsible gun ownership, and to protect the society when others may not be able to. So that's my thing. So I'm going to preface this whole conversation by saying, I personally don't care what you carry as long as you're carrying. That being said, let's kind of start talking about some of the factors. We've already talked about maybe gender, men versus women. And the reason why this is something that is a factor is some people are stronger than others. And there are some women that are stronger than men. I get that. But let's just talk about strength in general. If you are not the strongest person, you might have trouble racking a slide or whatever. There are some semi-automatic options out there like the Smith & Wesson Shield EZ or the Walther PK380. These are designed to have a very easy manipulation of that slide to where anyone of any strength, including maybe older people that have lost some muscle mass and all that, grandmas, grandpas, anyone can rack that slide. I can rack that slide with one finger on both those guns. They're phenomenal guns. But if something like racking a slide is something that might be difficult for you, then you might want to look into a revolver. A revolver is, you don't have to rack a slide at all. It's obviously a 5 or 6 shot round revolver. You're going to be able to load the cylinder up, and it's really simple from there. And the great thing about a revolver, and you guys know this about me if you've been following me at all, I'm not a revolver guy. My very first handgun was a Smith & Wesson Model 10. I didn't like it. It was, for some reason, I didn't like it, so I sold it, and I've been a semi-auto guy. Now, I'm trying to get back into the revolver game a little bit, and I'm looking at some things to get for myself. But a lot of people will say that like an LCR or any kind of a 38 Special, a Smith & Wesson, or any of them out there, Taurus has some great ones, but 38 Special, 357 Mag, those are some great options that you can find in snub nose and some short barrel revolvers that will be great for concealed carry. So even though I am not personally a big revolver guy, I am definitely not going to dismiss the idea of a revolver being a phenomenal carry gun. I will say that the Ruger LCR is as good of a great little pocket carry revolver that you can find out there. So, like I said, strength is one. So, if strength is going to be an issue, you may want to look into like a Smith or a Smith EZ or the Walther PK380 and go from there, or look into possibly a revolver because that would be a lot easier to manipulate than a semi-automatic. The next one is going to be how you choose to carry. And the position of carry is also going to be important. Whether you carry appendix on your hip or small in the back, some people will carry in a purse or a backpack or whatever. Some people will carry shoulder holsters underneath jackets or whatever. Whatever you choose to carry needs to fit in that position. Some people will say, well, I have appendix carry. For me personally, if I'm going to appendix carry, I'm sure as hell not going to go get me a 1911. That's just going to be way too damn uncomfortable for me to carry in that position. Now, if I carry the 3 or 4 o'clock position on my hip, then a 1911, depending on your body type, could maybe fit, and that would work. Small the back, like I said, whatever position you decide that you want to carry, that is going to be something that you have to consider for what kind of gun you're going to purchase, what size, what style, and all of that. So think about where you want to carry the position wise, and that will help as well. Now, I mentioned earlier about position and body type. Body type is definitely going to be something that is going to determine maybe what kind of gun you get. The biggest thing I can tell you is this, is I'm a smaller guy. I'm 5'7". I'm not a big giant of a man. but someone who's my size, I prefer something that's got a 3.5-4 inch barrel at the most, probably a shorter barrel and maybe a smaller frame like an M&P Shield or a Walther PPQ. You know, the biggest gun that I will carry is probably a Glock 19. Now, I do carry a Glock 19 at times, a Canik SF Elite. I do carry that, and that's a larger size. But typically, I will carry an M&P Shield. I will carry a Walther PPQ Subcompact, something along those lines that, for me and my body type and body size, is going to be much more comfortable. Now, during the wintertime, if I'm going to carry maybe outside the waist underneath a fleece or a sweatshirt or a jacket, now that's going to bring up a whole lot of more options. You can carry that larger size gun maybe outside the waist, but still be able to conceal it with a jacket or a fleece, sweatshirt, or whatever. That's going to be something depending upon where you live and the weather conditions. If you live somewhere that's warm year round and you're not going to wear a lot of jackets and all that, that's something you had to take into consideration as well. But here in Arkansas, it gets really hot during the summer, and so that's going to be a specific type of gun for me. During the wintertime, I wear a lot of fleece and a lot of sweatshirts and jackets and vests and stuff that I could wear some of my bigger guns, bigger, larger frame guns, even a Glock 17 possibly. I can wear those outside the waist, but still be concealed during the wintertime with whatever clothes that I'm wearing. So those are options as well. Now that we've kind of talked about some of the things that you have to consider on what you're going to carry, where you're going to carry it, what your climate is and all that, let's kind of talk about looking at guns and figuring out which one works for you. You're going to be able to go on YouTube and you're going to go on podcasts, whatever you're doing, and you're going to be able to find a lot of quote-unquote internet experts that are going to tell you what to buy. Now, I do appreciate the fact that everyone watches or listens to some of our stuff and our videos and listens to our reviews. But once again, let's go back and mention that the videos that we're putting out talking about and reviewing guns, they're truly our opinions on the firearms. I would never tell you that you've got to go buy this because I say so. I'm going to give you what I like about the gun. I'm also going to tell you what I don't like about the gun. And I'm going to give that information out there for you to hopefully help you in your decision making. But I'm assuming if you're looking at our videos on a specific firearm, then you're already interested in that firearm. So I think what the best thing I could give people advice to do is whatever firearm you're thinking about getting, if you know a buddy of yours that has it, or go to a gun shop that might have a shooting range attached to it, I want you to go handle those guns yourself, go shoot those guns yourself, and make the decision based upon what you think. Don't just blindly go into any gun shop or wherever and buy a gun because someone on the internet tells you. Once again, I appreciate you guys listening and watching my stuff, and I hope I help you, but I do not want anyone to think that I'm trying to tell someone that you must go buy these guns. It is a personal preference. Once again, there are a lot of variables that go into purchasing a firearm and what people find important for them. So I think a lot of it comes down to size and weight. Trigger, is it a reliable gun? What about the history of that gun? Has it been out a long time where it has been proven time in and time out? Or is it a new gun that is untested and you just don't know? It might be the next big thing. But we all know that when new guns come out, just like cars come out, there's going to be some issues possibly. And you might want to wait till generation 2 or the version 2.0 or whatever you want to call it, or wait a few months when that first gun comes out to find out what the reviews are from the people saying, hey, there are some bad problems with malfunctions, or this trigger is just crap, or whatever the situation is. Do your due diligence and find out some of the problems that are with these guns. Now, there are a lot of guns out there that I'll tell you that have been around for years that are tried and true and tested and proven to be phenomenal guns. Even though there might be newer versions, the base is still, it's still what it is. And some of these guns we've already talked about on the video, but the M&P Shield, the Walther PPQ, the Rugers of the world, the Glocks of the world, we know what these companies do. We know what their products are. We know that they're good, and you don't have to worry about it. They're also going to probably have a really good warranty for you. So, you know, when you're going into having that decision-making process of what gun to buy, make sure that you go handle that gun personally. If you have availability to shoot that gun, that's the best case. Get out there, because what fits good in my hand might not fit good in your hand. What I feel good about a trigger about, you might think is crap, or what I think is a crap trigger, you might really like that trigger. Regardless of what criteria that you put as far as what you're going to decide upon your gun on, always try to go handle as many guns as you can. There's going to be a gun out there that you might go to a gun shop and you've got your mind set on one of three handguns. And then you get there and say, oh, what's that? I've never seen that before. I've never heard of that. And then you have an opportunity to handle it and shoot it. Well, that might be the gun you get. And it might just be because you were at the gun shop and talking with the people behind the counter, or able to shoot those at a range or something like that. Keep your mind open to guns that you might not be as familiar with as others, because there are some phenomenal products out there that may not be as well known. And don't let a price tag get you into the mindset of buying that gun. Just because it's a name brand, a big dog name brand, and because it's a $600 to $900 gun, doesn't mean it's any better than that $300 gun or that $400 gun. I know for a fact that there are guns out there that you can get for $300 to $400 that will blow a lot of those $1,000 guns out of the water. Remember, when you're paying $900, $800 for a gun from a big brand, most of what that cost is you're paying for the brand name. Just like anything else, whether it's a Cadillac, a Mercedes, or whatever, you're going to pay money for the FNs, the SIGs, and all of these. You can pay more money just because it's the brand name. And part of that price that you're paying is their advertising built into that price. They're going to spend an enormous amount of money on advertising and marketing to tell you that this is the gun for you. So that's why the prices are a little bit higher. It's not because the quality of product's any better than those $400 guns. It's a lot of the times the marketing and advertising, they're passing that expense on to the consumer. So always keep that in mind. Price does not always mean it's better. The brand name that's a big brand doesn't always mean it's better. Does it mean that it's probably coming from a manufacturer that's been proven, has been around a long time? Sure, absolutely, and that's a valid reason. But there are some young companies that are coming up that are doing some phenomenal work that just haven't had the exposure yet. Now, one of the biggest arguments that the concealed carry nation, we can all have, is talking about caliber when it comes to concealed carry. There's going to be people that say that a 38 or 380 up to a 9mm is about as high as you want to go. You don't want to get into the 45s and all that for concealed carry. And I don't believe that. Once again, it comes back down to what you're familiar with, what kind of ballistics you like, how much ammo is going to cost. Because here's the thing, no matter what gun that you decide to get, no matter if it's a 38 special all the way up to a 45 ACP, whatever gun you decide to carry, you've got to be proficient with, which means you've got to practice with it a lot. And the most important factor when it comes to practicing a lot is ammo cost. Now, obviously, you can go get a 22, and that's fine. That's a fine choice for concealed carry. You can find some really small 22s out there, and you can shoot 1,000 rounds of 22 for nothing. And it's basically, they're giving 22 ammo away. 9mm is also a caliber that is going to be ballistically pretty safe and pretty good, pretty powerful enough to have a stopping power to stop an attack. But it's also cheap ammo to go practice with. So what I would suggest is keep in mind when you talk about value of a gun, it's not just the value and the price of the gun. It's going to be the added cost of how much is it going to cost for you to practice at least, you know, I'm going to say once a month. I would like to say every day or once a week at least. But if you're able to get out to a range once a month and get 50 to 100 rounds in, that's going to be good. At least you're going to be familiar with that gun. You're going to be able to go through any malfunctions you have, work on malfunctions, figure out what that trigger is going to do. And the more shots that go through that firearm, you know, it's like an engine. When you buy a new car, they say that the first 2,000 or 3,000 miles, you know, be careful with the engine because it's just going to get warmed up. After that, it's going to be good to go. Same thing with a firearm. When you buy a new firearm, the first 100 or couple hundred rounds you put through it, the trigger might be gritty. There might be a lot of take up and it might not be as smooth as you like. And there might be some internal springs that you have to lube up and all of that. A lot of that comes with more rounds being put through that gun. So the more rounds you put through that gun, the more that gun's going to settle in, and kind of by a couple hundred rounds, you should figure out if you like it. More importantly, as you break that gun in, you're getting familiar with that gun and hopefully becoming more proficient with that firearm. So make sure that you're also building in the cost of practicing an ammo cost, holster cost. If you find a gun that you really like, but you're going to be getting in 45, which might be more expensive ammunition, and this gun is a brand new gun, and you might not be able to find a holster for it for a while. If it's that new, the holster companies might not have had anything or the time to come out with the holster for that gun. So that's something you have to play into it. Once again, if you've got a gun that's been out for 6 months or a year, once again, you've got people that have told you the malfunctions, the good sides, the bad sides. Does this work? Is this crap? Is this great? Plus, by then, the holster companies have got the holsters out there in different sizes and styles, inside the waist, outside the waist, different styles of inside the waist, different styles of outside the waist, so that now those options are available to you. So when you're going into that concealed carry mindset, there is a lot more to think about than just the gun. It's the ammo cost, it's the holster options. All of that plays a part of that decision making. So remember, you need to be practicing, you need to be putting at least 50 to 100 rounds at least once a month with the gun that you buy, because if you're going to trust that gun to save your life or your family's life, then you need to be proficient with it so that you know what the sights work like. If you need to change and adjust the sights, you need to adjust some triggers, put a new trigger in, whatever the reason, whatever the things that you need to be doing, the only way you're going to figure that out is by shooting it. On top of that, you're also going to be becoming more proficient with that firearm so that when it does come time, hopefully it never does, but if it does come time for you to use that in a self-defense shoot, you're ready to go with that gun. And the last thing I want to talk about is something that isn't necessarily gun-related, but it is in a way. It is definitely concealed carry related, and that's clothing that you wear. Understand that if you've never carried and you've kind of lived in t-shirts and jeans and or skinny jeans, or if you're a female, you know, dresses, skirts, you know, whatever your wardrobe that you have always worn, you need to decide is if you're going to start carrying, is that wardrobe that you currently have, is it going to be a wardrobe that is ideal for concealed carry? Like I said, if you wear a lot of tight-fitting jeans or pants, tight-fitting shirts or whatever, those might not be ideal for concealed carry. Now, personally, I don't care about printing. I think that if I print, then and someone says something to me about it, that just gives me an opportunity to talk about carrying a gun. And if you're not sure what printing is when I say that, it's when you're carrying inside the waist and you've got, let's say, on your hip or the small of your back or whatever, and you're wearing a shirt and you're walking around. Printing is when someone can kind of see the outline of the gun through your shirt or your jacket or your clothing in general. That's called printing. Some people don't like it. There are some states that may have an issue with that legally, you know, whatever. Find out the laws in your state. Some people don't like printing because they don't want anyone to know they have a gun. I don't think that people walk around Walmart or wherever looking at people's hips or back saying, looking for guns, saying, oh my gosh, that guy has a gun or that lady has a gun. I don't think that people do that. But if you are worried about printing, that's the thing. Also, the comfort of carrying. If you wear tight pants or tight shirts, concealed carrying might be a little more difficult for you, because if you're going to carry inside the waist and you wear skinny jeans or tight-fitting jeans, the inside-the-waist holster is going to be bulky. So let's say you wear a 34 waist. If you're going to start concealed carrying inside the waistband, then you might have to start wearing 36-inch waist jeans, because you've got to get a little room for that holster to fit inside the waistline. So remember, no matter what you decide to carry, the variables are, it's going to be comfortable to you, the size needs to fit your body style, the size of the caliber needs to be comfortable with you. If you don't like a lot of kick, then you might want to go to a smaller caliber, but don't let anyone shame you on whatever caliber that you decide. There's nothing wrong with shooting 44 mag or 45 in a carry gun. That's going to be a personal choice. Once again, I don't care what you carry, as as long as you're carrying, and you're carrying in a safe and responsible way, and you're practicing with that firearm. But there are things that you have to think about, and especially if you're new to the game, you know, you really want to start thinking about all of these different variables. And if you have any questions, hell, leave a comment below. Email us at thearmedcitizenpodcast@gmail.com. Give us a call or text us. We'll love to take your phone calls or answer any texts. Our phone number here at the studio is 530-364-4678. An easier way to remember, it's 530-36-GHOST. So give us a call, send us a text, ask us any questions. We would love to hear from you. That's what we're here for, guys, is to help you hopefully make decisions that if you're looking for help and guidance. Like I said, I'm not here to be the end-all, be-all, but I would love to help you guys out. I've been carrying for a long time. It is one of my passions. It is one of my missions to get as many people out there carrying as we can. So if you have any questions, I would love to talk to you about that. Well, guys, once again, happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate everybody, and we thank you for being a part of our lives and our journey and our mission in the realm of firearms. We hope that you've enjoyed all of our content, and if you're new to our channel or new to our podcast, we really would suggest that you go back and listen to some cool stuff. We do have a live podcast every Tuesday night on our YouTube channel. But if you want to catch us live, come Tuesday at 8 Eastern to our YouTube channel, Ghost Tactical, and interact with us. We do a live with, I bring a couple of guests in every week, and we talk different things, firearms. It's on our YouTube channel. The cool thing about that is you can be in the audience live, and you can ask questions right then and there, and we'll answer them for you. So it's a cool interactive way to kind of get to know us a little bit better. But like I said, if you're out there and you listen to podcast form, and that's all you do, fantastic. Thank you. We hope you like it. We hope you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we hope that you have a safe Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Small Business Saturday. Get out there on Saturday. People forget about Small Business Saturday. That is a great time to go support your local gun shops. They need your help to stay alive. We need to remember that our local gun shops is what the Second Amendment's all about. That is where we fight in the trenches. So go support your local gun shops on Saturday and all that. So guys, thank you so much for always listening, supporting. We love you guys. Like I said, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and have a wonderful holiday season coming up, and we'll see you soon. Semper Fi. Thanks for listening to the Armed Citizen Podcast. To check out our full lineup of pro-gun media content, including our product reviews, live shows, and other Second Amendment activity, please check out our website, www.ghosttacticalproductions.com.